Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathleen O., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, September 8th, and this is a 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book. We're on page 83, the fourth paragraph, beginning on the fourth line, "We will not regret the past," and we're reading through two sentences ending in "and we will know peace." And we're commenting on these two sentences only. Today's readers are Joanne L., who'll be reading the 12 steps. Linda B. will be reading the 12 traditions. And the readers of our text are Dion R., Robin P., and Shelley E. The share ID for Tuesday, September 7th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 17,702. That's 17702. This morning's Wednesday, September 8th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the share ID is 17,704. That's 17704. Our newcomer greeter for today is Kaylee R., and Leslie M. will be making the announcements. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I'll now ask Joanne L. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Joanne. Star one to unmute, Joanne. Joanne, we're not hearing you.
Can you hear me now, Kathleen?
Yes, can hear you now. Thanks.
Oh, my goodness. I'm so sorry. Good morning, everybody. This is Joanne L. from Rhode Island, and good morning to the world. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people whenever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to do service, and I pass.
Thank you, Joanne L. And Linda B., if you'd read the 12 traditions, please.
Thank you, Kathleen. My name is Linda B. I'm a compulsive overeater from Ontario, Canada. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first, personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And thank you for allowing this opportunity to be of service, and I pass.
Thank you, Linda B. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 83, the fourth paragraph, beginning on the fourth line. We will not regret the past. We're reading through two sentences this morning, ending with, and we will know peace. We'll be commenting on these two sentences only. So good morning, Dion R. If you could get us started, please.
Good morning, Kathleen. Yes, yes, yes. Hi, everyone. My name is Dion R., Grateful Recover Compulsive Overeater. Okay. All right. We will not regret the past, nor wish to shut the door. We will comprehend the word serenity, and we will know peace. Whew. It's easy to find this page. Dion R., Grateful Recover Compulsive Overeater in Ohio, and I'm just so grateful to be a part of the solution. I'm glad God chose me when I didn't choose him, and where I can actually see this promise, those two promises and more, come true in my life, because halfway through my journey in OA, I said no. There's some past. I do want to shut the door, lock the key, and throw it under the water. Whatever, don't ever want to see it. And that kept me stuck for many 23 years until June 23rd, 2012. Going through a book, and I'm looking at this book, pulling the leaflet out. I got to get a new big book, which I finally said I'm going to get one. Anywho, it was color coded because in 2012, someone showed me that I can shut the door on my past. And this leaflet, I'm still keeping this big one. But usually I pass them on and give them to others. But this one I'm keeping because that's when I found me. I found peace, And when my sponsor told me to do what, you know, go by the big book, follow these steps, and this would be my one of my gifts. Just one of them. Just one of them. And because I didn't know peace, I thought peace was getting what I want, eating what I want, doing what I want. And then we start vision in July of 2012. Transfer right on over, and I have not regret. I have not regret doing any of that. And my past, how horrible some of it's been, I've been able to help others to put down their fork and spoon because they too are able to say, "Whoa! If God can do that for you, or your higher power did it for you, then it's possible for me." Serenity. I thought that was boring. Boring serenity. I'm gonna end with this. I was at a recovery function, having a good time at one of our little community things, and like, it's something missing. I remember the sponsor I had at that time. She said, "That's called chaos. This is what's missing," because we were laughing and enjoying life. We were loving each other for just who we are, and not who I wanted them to be. So I'm so grateful for this program. That's why I say yes, yes. Because, yes, some things today, I say, "Oh, I'm going to regret that." No, my higher power is shining light. Dion, get it out. Do what you got to do. And that's what I do. That's why I have a sponsor. That's why I'm going to continue on the road to recovery. And, yes, it can happen to you too, newcomer. Believe me. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you, Kathleen, for allowing me to be a part of the process.
And thank you, Dion R. in Ohio, for getting us started. Okay, although we do value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share who has not shared in the past 3 days on those two sentences, page 83, the fourth paragraph, the fourth line, and the fifth?
Melanie C.
Melanie
Kara
C.
L.
Kara L.
Kraya H. Kraya H.
Hiya,
Carol
H.
F.
Carol F.
Donna B.
Donna B.
Virginia T.
Virginia P. Okay, let's stop.
P.
There. P as in Paul. Okay.
T as in Tom.
Oh, T as in Tom. Thanks,
yeah.
Virginia. Okay, so I have Melanie, Kara L, Haya H, Carol F, Donna B, and Virginia T. Go ahead, please, Melanie C.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Good morning, Kathleen. My name is Melanie C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I'm calling from Oregon today. I want to talk about these two sentences because I have this experience with it, and I wanted to see that if somebody else had these same experiences, because it really is better to do it in community together. And I kind of go about recovery in a way that seems to take a little more effort than maybe some that I hear. So what I wanted to visit about here in this particular situation is not regretting the past or shutting the door on it. I had a conversation with a woman just this morning, and it would just echo the same things that I had in my mind, is that, you know, how can I look at this and not be just so disturbed about what this disease has robbed from me, what it has taken from me, all this damage that I did in my family, what I did, da, 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 da. And this woman's gone through the steps. I was able to reflect that this is exactly what my journey is like. This is not an instantaneous thing. I want to remind myself of that. It's coming slowly. I was painstaking about this phase of my development. And then immediately, did I not regret the past? No, I did not immediately have that happen. But over time, I've seen this beautiful emerging of the new language that's going on in my head, because the big book talks to us about a psychic change. The way in which I thought before is not going to be the way that I'll be thinking in the future. And God has replaced some language that I had with new language that is freeing up my heart, the bondage of Melanie, and the ability to be more spiritually effective because of that new language. So the past is now becoming something that I understand for me is it was a stepping stone towards where I'm at today. It was the training ground for what I was going to become. And it was a process that it was very slow for Melanie. that continues to build on each thing every single day. I remember moments in time saying to myself, gosh, it just feels so good to know that I did the best that I could. And then the next day I was down into this place of melancholy saying, you know, I did this thing to my son and I don't know if I'm going to be able to live with myself. But through the process here, God has been able to say to me, how do you want to capture that? How do you want to encapsulate that thought, that first thought that you're having, to move it into a way in which it's more effective? Because it is what it is. It is not a negative thing. It is a positive thing. And so from that, I'm not regretting. I'm seeing that it's an opportunity to capitalize on a thing in which my mind wants to take me into melancholy, to shift it around, to say, God, remove that thought for me and direct my attention to what you would have me be. And because this is not what I'm believing it to be in this particular moment. So it's a process. You know, if you don't have it automatically, consider the idea that you stay in community so that the right thinking comes and the miracles continue to happen as it always does. And I pass.
Thank you, Melanie C. in Oregon. And Kara L., you're up, followed by Haya H. Good morning, Kara.
Good morning. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. Thank you, my fellows, for being here today. Just hearing your voices is like a salve on my soul. So thank you, every one of you. We're going to know a new freedom and happiness. We will not regret the past or wish to shut the door on it. And, you know, I've done fourth steps. I've done fourth steps many different ways, right? And each time I thought, did I get everything? Is my soul going to be totally clear and I'll be just happy, joyous, and free all the time? And I'll tell you today, you know what? Things that I forgot will still come up. And they will come up and they will rise to the surface. And before recovery, I would just do anything so I didn't have to feel that shame of the past or that regret from the past. And today I can sit with the tools of this program, with my higher power, and say, oh, that was a hard one. And I can bring it up and I can say, God, what would you have me do here? What would you have me be? And I can move forward in the knowledge that I will be cared for, because I know that my higher power is always there. You know, my higher power, I heard this in a meeting the other day, is my rock. When everything else goes, my higher power is always there through everything. And so when those past memories flood to the surface, and they come from the weirdest times, I'll be sitting somewhere, a smell, a thought, or something will lead me down that path. Today, instead of being frightened of it and pushing it away and down and away, I can experience it. I can go through it. I can ask for help from my fellows. I can lean on my rock, my higher power. And yeah, I don't have to regret the past anymore or push it down or shut the door today. It's beautiful. With that, I'll pass. Thank you, my fellows.
Thank you, Kara L. in California. Haya H., you're up, followed by Carol F. Go ahead, Haya. Star one to unmute.
Hi, can I be heard?
Yes, go ahead, please.
Okay, sorry, our one wasn't working. It's actually Freya, F-R-E-Y-A, and I am a recovered compulsive eater bulimic in Colorado. Thank you. Thanks for the patience. This particular promise about, you know, not regretting the past or wishing to shut the door on it has been one that I early on did not believe. You know, I knew that one was not true for me, and I'm grateful to say that today that is more and more a reality in my life. And coming into recovery, I thought that was how I was going to shut the door on the past. You know, I was going to find this new thing. It was going to fix me. And I was never going to go back to being that broken, sick, ashamed person that I was before. And it took me several years to really embrace this idea that, you know, my dark past is actually going to be one of my greatest assets, because it allows me to be of service. And it took a lot of healing for me to be ready to do that, to really look at and do the real, you know, the opening up to let my higher power do the genuine healing. And it is very, the more painstaking and thorough I was about the ninth, you know, the eighth and ninth step amends process, the more that this did become a reality, because I faced those parts in the past that I felt the most ashamed of. And I did what I could do, and I can, you know, can really let them go. And like other speakers have shared, things continue to come up. Things continue to surface as my higher power sees that I'm ready. And I'm grateful that I have this experience so that I'm more willing to embrace it. You know, when the painful stuff comes up, I know that it's coming up. My higher power saying, hey, guess what, Freya, you're ready to have this be healed. It's coming up so it can be healed. Everything that happens is for my growth and healing. It's not to, it's not proof of how damaged and broken I am. So this idea that I will comprehend serenity and know peace is a result of living on a different basis, having a different attitude, and actually desiring those things for themselves. You know, when I was in my disease, my head was so busy, and I liked that feeling. You know, part of me really wanted to just keep going and keep that, you know, that high of being in my head and getting stuff done. And when I got a glimpse of peace, then it started to appeal to me. But for a long time, I didn't even see the value in peace and serenity, because I didn't realize, thank you, what a just what a hamster wheel it was. So thank you for the opportunity to share. I will pass.
And thanks, Freya. Sorry, I messed up your name there. Okay, Carol F., you are up, followed by Donna B. Go ahead, Carol.
Yes, hello. This is Carol F., compulsive overeater, food addict in recovery from Maryland. And I'm grateful today because when that sentence or those couple of sentences became a reality for me, that I wouldn't regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it, my spirit just kind of leapt in my body. And I was just like, that was a reality for me, because I did not regret the past and I didn't want to shut the door on it. The key word was, I was no longer ashamed. I wasn't ashamed of who I was. I wasn't ashamed of where I came from. I wasn't ashamed of my having been fat most of my life, struggling with that. I wasn't ashamed of my family of origin anymore. That shame was gone. And as far as peace, I have peace with myself. I have peace with food. I have peace with others most of the time. I have peace with my higher power, with my family, and with the world most of the time. I still have hard-to-handle highs and lows, but I have my higher power. I have the program, but I no longer have that shame. And I just want to thank everybody for being on the line, and I pass.
Thank you, Carol F. from Maryland. And Donna B., you're up, followed by Virginia T. Good morning, Donna.
Good morning. This is Donna B., recovered compulsive overeater, calling from Denver, Colorado. This concept of not regretting the past, I was very promiscuous as a teenager, as a young adult. And for many years, I carried a lot of shame about the relationships that I was in. And to some degree, I have shut the door on that part of my life because I don't really like to talk about it. My husband will sometimes tease me about, oh, I was so wild and I was having so much fun and I had this crazy life, and like my kids are getting older, you know, oh, when was your first kiss and how many boyfriends did you have? And, you know, they have this sort of Disney version of what my life looked like. And I don't like to talk about it with them. And I don't like to talk about it when there's no good reason to talk about it. But when it comes to working a program of recovery and working with others, then suddenly my past takes on a whole new meaning and has a whole new value. It becomes not a part of my life that I slam the door on and say, refuse to acknowledge that it happened, refuse to look into the past, you know, just slam the door and stand on the other side of it, pushing so hard that nothing will come through. But where there's value and where there's connection and where there's growth and where there's opportunity, it's my honor and my responsibility to disclose as much about my past as I can when it can be of service to another person. And in doing that, in having the hard conversations about the parts of my life that that I really question, you know, what was I thinking? What was I thinking? I've grown in having a compassion for who I was at that time and what was motivating my behavior, those instincts to be loved and accepted. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Donna B. in Colorado. And Virginia, before I take you, I just want to remind everyone that we are on page 83, the fourth paragraph, beginning on the fourth line, we will not regret the past. We're reading through two sentences ending with, and we will know peace. We're commenting on these two sentences only. And after Virginia, I'll be taking some more names. So go ahead, please, Virginia T.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, great. Thank you. Somehow I have a hard time saying T where people can understand it. So this is Virginia T. as in Tom. I'm in Georgia. And I'm so grateful for this program and grateful to be in recovery. When I first came to OA, it was about 25 years ago, and I came to an in-person meeting, and there wasn't much recovery in my meeting, but it was at the end of every meeting, we would read this paragraph from the big book as part of our closing. I was struggling a lot during that time, and I didn't see much recovery modeled in my own group. And there was one time when I think we were discussing step four, and somebody admitted that they'd been in OA for years and had stalled out before they completed step four. And I was one of those people, and it sort of occurred to me that, well, no wonder there's not much recovery here. Is because we're not really getting to this stage. And even though we held up this paragraph as an ideal at the end, we weren't really getting there and we weren't really experiencing this. And so I'm really grateful that I have continued, and I'm grateful to have found vision and found people who really have made it through, and with the help of you all and my sponsor and other people, I have too, and I'm grateful to be living in that today. So we used to say at the end of those meetings, keep coming back, it works if you work it, but not very many people were working it at the time. So I'm just grateful to be working it and to be experiencing that peace that it promises. Thank you.
Thank you, Virginia T. in Georgia. Okay, who else would like to share on these two sentences? We will not
pass.
Here.
Audrey M. P. in California.
Okay, so I got Audrey M. P. Who came in right before her asking if they could share?
Rosemary from Pennsylvania. I mean, New Jersey. I'm sorry. I'm still saying Pennsylvania because... Yes.
The first initial of your last name, Rosemary?
Oh, Rosemary. It's one word ending in IE, and my last initial is G.
G. Okay, great. Okay, and who else? Okay, hold on. Rosemary, hold on just a minute. I'm going to take some more names, and then we'll have you share, okay? So hold on just a minute.
Okay, thank you.
Stacy K.
Tanya P.
Juanis,
is that N as in Nancy?
Yes.
Okay.
Ann R.
Let's stop there. So I have Rosemary G, Audrey M P, Stacy K, Tanya P, Janice N, Juanis N, and Ann R. So go ahead, please, Rosemary G from New Jersey.
Okay. I just like to comment on the line, I will not regret the past. What I found in OA is that as we focus on the Serenity Prayer and accept the things we cannot change, that seems to me to be the key to letting go and not regretting the past. And it's helped me enormously to focus on the lines in the Serenity Prayer. Because when I think about it, there's not much we have control over, and that not that much we can really change. And, you know, with the pandemic and all the stuff that's going on for the last, I don't know, more than a year, I don't even want to count and do the math about that. But I don't regret the past. I feel like so much of it has been a learning experience for me, and I count that as a blessing. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Rosemary G. in New Jersey. And Audrey M.
No,
you're
yes.
followed by
New Jersey.
Stacy K. Go ahead, Audrey.
Hey, good morning. Good morning, Team Wednesday. I miss you. This is Audrey M. P. from California, and I am a compulsive overeater. Thank you so much for the meeting. When I first started coming to Vision and I was looking for a sponsor, they'd say, oh, you have to listen to 30 minutes of the call 3 times a week. And that was a tall order. I was like, you know, I have 28 years of abstinence from bulimia, but the food thing, I am still riddled. And, you know, my willingness and all that. I'm not regretting the past. Or shutting the door on it and finding peace. I'm out of town. I got a lot going on. I'm trying to control and manage things that are not possible for me to control and manage. And I ended up needing a place to stay. And so I checked into a hotel, a luxury resort. I am in heaven. I am in bliss. And I feel like I'm circling. But I was asked to leave this hotel over 25 years ago, and I thought to make amends to myself and to satisfy the need for needing a room that I would go to the hotel and behave like an honorable guest. And so my past is just like is running through my head, you know, walking around the hotel. It's been remodeled 5 times since. And so I needed peace. And so getting up this morning and listening to the first call, I was up at 4, and so I was listening to the 7 o'clock, just seemed so easy. So that's got to be peace. You know, I don't have all the answers today. What I've heard already is, you know, like, ask God, take away all of these feelings, this spinning, this controlling, this regretting, whatever it is, and show me peace. Show me who you'll have me be. And I think I can do that today. I really needed a minute to share. And I really need to, even after the meeting, sit down quiet and do meditation and just really be, I need to be in constant contact today. Step 11 all day, every day, but all day today, every minute, every hour. And so with that, I'm going to pass. I thank you all for being there and for the fellowship, which is super helpful. Thanks, Dawn. Bye, everybody. I pass.
Thank you, Audrey M.P. in California. And Stacy K., you're up, followed by Tanya P. Good morning, Stacy.
Good morning. This is Stacy K. in Colorado. I am a compulsive overeater and glad to be here. I want to talk about I Know Peace because that to me is like one of the biggest gifts. And where that comes from is, you know, the more peace I feel, I think it's like goes with the more I know God, you know, the more I trust God, the more I rely on God. And, you know, when I think about that peace, I do think about the stuff that my head, you know, my disease mind, my ego mind, the mind that tells me the lies, that tells me, you know, that I gotta, you know, go, 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 or I got to, you know, or that I'm not good enough, or whatever it's telling me, you know, or that, you know, like food's the answer, like, you know, when those food thoughts come up, or whatever, it tells me all these lies. And, you know, when I get still and I can hear that whisper, you know, the truth, that is a miracle. And it does settle me down, you know, and, you know, when I'm in that place, it doesn't matter, like, if there's chaos around me, you know, it doesn't mean that I can't lose it in an instant, but you know what, I can get it back in an instant, and that is, like, so cool today. I'm not, you know, like, running around all, you know, zen all the time. No way, you know, but this is about spiritual progress. This is what this whole deal is about, is, you know, having a relationship with a power greater than ourselves. And when the more that I talk to God and I listen to God's voice, I know peace, because I'm trying to explain, like, God doesn't speak to me in that ugly, nasty way that my disease mind does, you know? It just is love, you know, that loving voice. So there's no shame there, there's no, you know, any of that. And so that's what I'm trying to choose all the time, you know, that message, not the message, you know, that, you know, these self-defeating beliefs that I have, or what I might hear out in the world, you know, I need to tune in to that. And so, and of course, the ninth step is absolutely, we need to make sure we make those things right, or the best of our ability. So that's all I got. Thanks.
Thank you, Stacy K. in Colorado. And Tanya P., you're up, followed by Juanis N. Go ahead, Tanya.
Good morning. Thank you. Good morning. This is Tanya P. in Michigan's Upper Peninsula. I'm a compulsive overeater, greatly recovered, one day at a time. Thank you so much for your service. This line, "We will not regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it," has been popping into my mind lately. As I do have these regrets surface, I had a recent relapse. I have 48 days of abstinence, just finished my 4 through 7 steps, working on 8 and 9, and have been in program since 91. And the regret is not about the relapses. It's about, why didn't I work these steps a million years ago? You know, I've been married for 42 years and I have a new freedom and a new happiness with this man that I hated just 2 years ago. You know, we're in this great place together because of this work that I've done with my higher power in this fellowship. And what occurred to me as I was listening to other speakers is that I must balance regret with gratitude, because regrets do not serve me. I wasn't ready then. I was in my selfish disease. God couldn't get through the wall I put up. I have many examples of when God did break through because I asked for help. I asked him to help me, and he did. But then I'd shut the door because that's that willful disease. And I love these promises. I do know a new freedom. I do know a new happiness. I'm so grateful for my 48 days of abstinence after, you know, losing 150 pounds over 2 years and then letting that go away because I wasn't keeping spiritually fit. I am so fortunate that I didn't have to go through a big weight gain or wait very long because I was able to ask my higher power for help. But I am so grateful that I do beginning to comprehend the word serenity, and I do have moments of peace and gratitude. And I thank you all for being here today and allowing me to share, and I will pass.
Thank you, Tanya P. in Michigan. And Juanice in Europe, followed by Ann R. Go ahead, Juanice.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Juanice N., and I am in Southern California. I'm also a compulsive overeater in recovery. And I too, wanted to share on "We Will Not Regret the Past, nor Wish to Shut the Door on It." And I had an amends to make to my mom. And my mother and I, we had a contentious relationship, to say the least. It was not good. And my sponsor had directed me to write her a letter. So I wrote a letter to take to her grave because she's passed away. So I wrote her a letter, short little letter, straight to the point. You know, there was a financial amends in there. I put that part in there and went down to her gravesite, and for some reason I had packed a little cooler. I wasn't planning on staying long, but I had packed a little cooler, and I happened to have my chair in the back of my trunk, and I went and sat down. And once I sat down, it was almost like I was just, something just released in me that I was there, that I was actually there looking at her gravestone, and I could read her this letter. And I ended up staying far longer than I had planned, but the financial amends part is what really, how I saw God, the hand of God, just take over the whole situation. And I didn't know what I was going to do, but I had told her, you know, I'm going to do something in your honor to make this up to you. And I noticed that she didn't have a flower vase. And so I said, okay, well, let me see how I can order her in-ground flower vase. So I went and I found out that the flower that they had, that the flower shop, you can order an in-ground flower vase. And so I did that. And then I found out that you could buy a little kit to clean up her gravestone. And so I bought the little kit and cleaned up her gravestone really good. And then I found out that you can set up a plan to 5 or 6 times a year to set aside a contract to put flowers on her grave every, you know, and they'll put them on there for you 5 or 6 times a year. And so I did that. And then, you know, as all of these things was happening, and I said, well, I'm ready to go home now, and I'll come back next time and I'll clean her grave. And but I ended up doing it then. And, you know, it was just the whole experience. I realized that I was doing something for somebody else that was totally unselfish. And I had never felt that before. I had never felt what that felt like. And, you know, I was sat there and I laughed and talked to her. And it was just, I just really had a great time. And so now I don't have to regret. I can't even explain how doing something that small and that simple, but I don't regret our relationship being as bad as it was anymore. I just don't. I feel a closeness to her. I didn't know it was possible for me to feel. And it's just, it was just a healing process that I didn't expect. And I didn't expect that I would feel so good by just going down there and actually following through with it. So that's all for me. Thanks.
And thank you, Juanita Shen in California. Ann R., go ahead, please.
Hi, my name is Ann R. I'm in California. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I haven't shared on this line in a long time, so thank you for the opportunity to share. Thank you for everyone who's been in service. Now, we will not regret the past, but I wish you shut the door on it. I'm not there. I do regret the past, and I lost a lot of people to this disease that have died and have no place to sit and talk to them because of the fact that, of the way it was handled. And I use food as a way to feel better about all that. We will comprehend the word serenity and we will know peace. And the only reason why I'm sharing today is because that is my favorite, very, very favorite sentence in the promises, and I identify in a lot of 12-step programs, one in particular where I have been blessed with abstinence for over 30 years, and yet I am a newcomer in OA. I've been in and out of OA for a very long time. However, abstinence is just something I can't seem to put together, and so the peace is not coming, the struggle is. And comprehending the word serenity means that I'm supposed to understand it somehow. And I don't understand that. I don't understand serenity. This is hard to admit. This is hard to own with visionaries. But I do know that when I get up and I put my ear into the phone and I listen to this meeting, there is something here that is more than amazing. There's something here, there's hope here that reminds me that the connection with the higher power is the answer. And for me, it's a second-by-second experience. I have had as much as 45 days of abstinence, actually had it back-to-back, and it was through working with what is suggested here on this call with others and doing the work. It was a bit overwhelming. I was sitting in what I call my God chair, where I talk to my God, and something was happening. There was an experience, and I think what was happening is that I was feeling serenity, and I was feeling peace for those few moments. It was as if I've heard the term neutral with food on this line. I definitely don't have that today, but I feel like I had that when I was with the abstinence. When the abstinence was an experience that I was living, and I feel like I was getting neutrality with my life, with everything. It was so overwhelming. It definitely felt like a God presence was with me. And I want that back. Now, am I willing to do the work to get it? Am I willing to do the work? And that's the bottom line. Am I willing to go to anyone? And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Ann R. from California. My apologies, that was me that was unmuted. Okay, so thank you everyone who shared on these really amazing two sentences. We are now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So, Robin P., if you would please read a vision for you.
Thanks so much. Hi, I'm Robin P. I'm a very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Costa Rica. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who's still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then, amen.